Higher Education Committee will come to order. Today's date, Tuesday, April 16th. And members, I think I lost people. I had people, and then we lost people. Did we lose Senator Fischbach? So, members, I know that everybody has been waiting so long. And so, first of all, I apologize for that. And as you all know, there's nothing we can do about controlling the legislative intent. Has its own mind. So what we are going to do is try and hear those folks who traveled far. We're just going to hear them. And then we're going to reconvene on Thursday. I understand their floor session will not be long on Thursday. So we will be able to hear the rest of these proposals on Thursdays. So because of that, I would like to start with Senator Stumpf and Ms. Chancellor Wood.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Stumpf.
Nice to be here, and I appreciate and thank you for the opportunity for Chancellor Wood, who came from Crookston and postponed his flight. He's going to take a later flight, which is helpful so that we can have him address one of the issues that we're here for. So we're dealing with Senate File 1293?
Yes, Senate File 1293 is before you. Thank you.
Senate File 1293 is the University of Minnesota's and the Minsku's bonding request for the asset preservation. And I also have Ms. Pam Wheelock from the University of Minnesota here as well.
Well, actually, I'm sorry, Senator Stumpf.
Okay.
I was thinking we would only do
the Crookston one.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I didn't know.
I apologize. So, yep.
Well, we do have Chancellor Wood here from University of Minnesota Crookston, and Pam Wheelock to comment on anything that we have questions on.
So great.
The campus over at Crookston is a is one of the star campuses of the University of Minnesota and has changed over the years that that I've been acquainted with it. My tenure with the campus goes back quite a ways. And they have done an extraordinary job in a number of areas. They also, one of the areas that I've been involved over there for quite a while has to do with the technology that they've kind of instilled into the education that they deliver. I think they were one of the few campuses in the state of Minnesota where they actually, every student that went there had laptop computers, and they also have been very instrumental over the years in the delivery of education via the internet or the telecommunications systems. And so I think that they've accommodated a lot of different avenues of education and connected with the secondary systems quite well, like through the concurrent enrollment process. And so they have grown as a campus, and their growth has made it more difficult for their students in that as they grew, they didn't have the facilities, in particular the one we're talking about, which is the Campus Wellness Center. They do not have a place, basically, for students to basically have the kind of opportunities in physical recreation. So I think Chancellor Wood is going to touch on some of that. I personally visited the campus and had a tour of that facility, and it's not at all up to the standard that they don't have the availability, first of all, but then the actual facility is in quite dire shape. And so maybe it would be an opportunity to turn it over to Chancellor Wood and hear the rest of the story.
Chancellor Wood, we'd love to hear about University of Minnesota Crookston and hear about what you're requesting today.
Thank you, Chair Bonoff, and thank you, committee, for allowing this testimony here this evening in a late date. I know it's been a long day for you, and I'll try to be very, very brief. And thank you, Senator Stump, for your willingness to support the project toward the facility and give it a bit of context. So the University of Minnesota Crookston is a relatively small campus of 1,100 students on campus. The facility that we're describing here and discussing is a facility that was initially built, the core of it, back in the 1930s when we were a boarding school, a high school, an agricultural boarding school, wonderful school, the Northwest School of Agriculture. It was renovated in 1980 when we were a two-year technical school as well. And so the facility really reflects that time of an enrollment that was far less than we have now, and also only a small fraction of the residents that we have now on campus. So we have about 750 residents will be on campus, and the facility was built at a time it was less than half of that. So in terms of giving you a sense, the facility that we have for cardio is probably about, well, it'd be a fraction of the size of this room for 1,100 students, to give you a sense. So there is no facility that the average student can use outside of very late time, because in part of the 1,100, 260 of those students are student athletes, which have needs for their own workout sessions and practice and so forth. The project, I think it's important to mention, is the only facility for both student athletes and non-athlete students, and that's a very important component. It's an integrated project where all students, both student athletes and non-athlete students, would be using. And presently, it's completely, truly, it's inadequate for either of those two purposes. In terms of the main purpose of this facility, I would say is student success, recruitment, retention, and graduation rate. That is the number one reason we're interested in having this facility. If you talk to any group of students and parents today, they'll ask about academic programs in terms of recruitment. They'll then want to know about residence halls. We have a very fine residence hall, including one we're dedicating on Thursday. But we have this very inadequate recreation or wellness facility. We know that the students on campus need places to gather. Again, the facility was built when it was mainly a community college as a two-year technical school, and there's very limited places to gather, including very, very limited recreational facilities, as I mentioned. So we're absolutely confident that with this facility in place, we'll be able to recruit the students to our campus and be able to retain them and improve our graduation rates, which is the number one purpose. In terms of student comments, it is their highest priority. When you ask students sort of what is missing on campus that are with us, especially those that are graduating, they will point to this facility, that there is no place to gather, there's no place to go and play a little basketball, there's no place to go and get on a cardio machine. They're just very limited facilities. We know that they also ask about this facility related to other engagement. So right now we have a lot of students who will go home during the weekends, and they're very interested in staying, but they need things to do on campus to help build the campus community, the deep social ties, and the other engagement and other activities that we need. The students have already approved a small fee for this facility, really a symbolic fee. They know that they will increase
that. Excuse me, one moment. Let the record reflect there is a quorum. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you, Cheryl. They've already approved a fee that's symbolic to indicate to the state, to this body, that this is their highest priority. They know they'll be increasing that fee, escalating it once the project's approved, and they will escalate again once the project's open. So they will pay their fair share.
Chancellor, excuse me, yes. What is the fee that they've approved so far?
The fee so far is a $10 fee that they have, and it's just being put into reserve for this purpose.
And what do you expect the fee to be when it's in place?
Thank you. Yeah, they have, what they've been doing is pulling fees in like the University of North Dakota, North Dakota State University, and they're kind of landing on an average fee. I think if I remember right, it's in the 70s and 80s is what they've looked at, possibly going as high as $100.
For the annual fee. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. There's also interest in the faculty in developing academic programs. We have a sports and recreation management program. There's interest in our faculty in developing a wellness academic program and around public health. And that leads me to the community asset part of this project. The community is very excited about this project as an asset, not as a fitness center, They're interested in it in terms of a place for youth events, a place to have various populations come for nutritional wellness type seminars, for demonstrations of equipment. We have close ties with the health health area in Crookston, and they're very eager to use this facility for their purposes as well in terms of a community asset. So finally, in terms of funding, I've mentioned the student fee, that they're certainly going to pay their fair share. Unfortunately, on a small campus, only 1,100 students, they're unable to pay the full needs in terms of the capital, which is, of course, why we are here and talking with you. We're also going to be working hard on philanthropy opportunities to help support the facility, and the system has indicated that they will provide some support as well for this project. So that, in a nutshell, is the Wellness Center at the University of Minnesota Crookston. Again, I would say it is the key important piece for the campus in terms of recruitment, retention, graduation, and student success. Thank you very much.
Any questions for Chancellor Wood? Senator Stumpf, I wonder if you might just say a little bit about your philosophy. You know, at the end of the day, we're going to send you a letter on behalf of our committee with regard to recommending which projects to fund. And so as you make those determinations, can you give us just a little sense of what you're going to be looking for in terms of the higher ed, you know, how we'll approach that?
Madam Chair and committee members, actually, I think when I look at the whole area of capital investment, I really look at 2013 and 2014 because we're only have a few weeks left in terms of 2013, but we will shortly begin, shortly after the session ends, and getting requests from the departments as well as other people in terms of 2014. Mm-hmm. And then the Capital Investment Committee will go around and look at those projects and evaluate those for the next session. This session, I think the bulk of the, I would say, the proposal will probably be focused on infrastructure and the kind of the core type of needs that the state has, and that, you know, is I'd say along with that probably some of these projects that have been in previous bills. We see it in the governor's bill as well as the House bill that have been sometimes repeatedly been in there and just haven't been in. I mean, they're still good projects, but for whatever reason, they just haven't been funded. So that's kind of the goal. We obviously have some big issues in the hopper, the capital here being one of them, and That's true depending on how we do it. That's true possibly in 2013 and 2014. But thankfully, we have some capacity to have some sizable bonding bills and get a bunch of projects done.
Very good. Well, thank you. Any other questions for the Chancellor? I know, Ms. Wheelock, you came prepared to testify, and we're going to wait on the other projects, but anything you'd like to say?
Madam Chair, I would just only add, as you saw perhaps by the previous slide, that this was a project that was endorsed by the Board of Regents of the University of Minnesota. It is a priority for us in our 2013 request. It was the top priority for the Crookston campus in their master planning process, which they finished in 2010. And so we're very hopeful that we will be able to advance this project and expedite it to reduce costs that would otherwise come from escalation of costs from inflation. So we appreciate your time, and we'll be back. I'll be back on Thursday.
Oh, thank you, and thanks for your patience.
If I could just add, thank you, Senator. I just one last comment that may be helpful. One of the things that we're very proud of on the Crookston campus, in addition to our real focus on workforce training, which has been a part of our campus since its beginning, experiential learning, required internships for all students, an excess of 95% placement rate for all of our students, is the increasing diversity on our campus that we've worked very hard to create. So we've really diversified the campus from what you would have seen just a few years ago in terms of both domestic diversity and international diversity. You'll be surprised to know that over 10% of our students are international at the University of Minnesota Crookston, and they're a group that also needs activity facilities and so forth. And almost 15% of our students are students of color. Many of them have been drawn from the cities to our rural environment, a very nurturing small campus environment where really everyone does know your name, and certainly the faculty all know your name. And so again, this effort that we're discussing in terms of student success, retention, and graduation rate has a direct impact upon the graduation rates of those two populations as well.
Very good. Thank you. Senator Klassen.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And Chancellor Wood, I've had an opportunity to speak to some of your faculty members, and they've expressed to me how important this project is to your community and the university. And I just appreciate you coming down here to share that information with us. And as we work through this, it's something that I've heard from your faculty very strongly, so I appreciate their comments and you being with us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Well, thank you very much. So safe travels back, and it really does make a difference for you to come down. It makes a difference for us to meet you, and I hope the community or the committee will do field trips in the interim and that we'll come see you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and committee members, Chancellor Wood comes to us from UC Davis, and actually is a Minnesotan.
That's right.
Prior,
yeah.
But has spent many years out in UC Davis, which is in the heart of wine country, and actually the premier university when it comes to the enology and viticulture. So.
Well, I guess he's in the right place now because he's close to some very good wineries, as we know. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, next, Senator Sparks. And those who came and didn't get to testify, my apologies, and we'll see you Thursday.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for the opportunity to present Senate File 1372. And I'm just going to turn it over to the president of Riverland Community College, Mr. Kent Hansen, who traveled up here today. And thank you for the time this afternoon.
Thank you. Chair Bonoff, committee members, thank you very much, Senator, for inviting me to come up. I'm the interim president at Riverland Community College. My name is Kent Hansen. Riverland's request for the Albert Lee campus is really sort of a campus upgrade. The campus in Albert Lea was built in the early 70s, and there are a number of issues as far as upkeep of that campus. We will be coming forward through a process in 14 to have a next phase to this. But the primary purpose of our request is to deal with the heating, ventilating, and air conditioning units on the roof, which are outdated. Our plan is to modernize those and bring those inside of the building and create better efficiencies. And then we're looking for a roof project in the future, so it makes sense to modernize the HVAC and prepare that for roofing in the future. We plan to demolish an old outdated building on the grounds that's in pretty rough shape. By doing so, we'll save about $33,000 a year in ongoing maintenance and facility usage. And also, for the future, we would like to consider using this space, which will be cleared for expanding our truck driving program to the campus on Albert Lea from Austin. And then the third focus of this request is to renovate the campus. We have an outdated lecture bowl, which is not very functional to us these days, and it's not ADA compliant. We'd like to repurpose that old outdated lecture bowl, remove the tiering, make it become ADA compliant, turn that large space into two flexible spaces, and so that we can also either have it as a full space or two separate classrooms, update the technology, and be able to use it for our technical programs to make sure there's access, larger doors in and out so we can bring equipment in. Other purposes on the renovation, we did move the workforce development group on campus, so the workforce center is on our campus. Now this request, the planning started in about 2011 for this initial request. They're on our campus now. It displaced our student affairs office and services, and so the plan now is to go back and make sure that we do a decent job with those things. So our approach is primarily on three levels, fixing our deferred maintenance primarily with an HVAC program, demolishing an external building which we have no use for anymore and it's costing us money to try and maintain it, and then renovate with an academic focus for a tiered lecture classroom that is no longer serving our purpose, and repurposing that to meet the needs of our technical programs, and then also going back and retooling our campus by bringing the Workforce Center onto campus. We've displaced our student affairs offices, and they're in a little bit of disarray because of that. So that's the nature of my request.
And Mr. Hansen, how many students attend Riverland Community College?
Overall, Riverland has about 5,000 students. The Albert Lea campus has approximately 2,000 of those.
And when would this truck driving program, best of all possible worlds, be ready to have students
okay,
in it?
Okay, so we have a truck driving program right now in Austin that we would move to the Albert Lea campus. And the truck driving program would be part of our transportation center there. That is what our request for 14. We don't know exactly where that's all going to come into play. But our long-term vision is to have the Albert Lea campus to be sort of our center of excellence in transportation. And moving truck driving there makes good sense. Right now it's on our Austin campus, and the truck drives around the parking lot, which is really not really safe for everybody.
So. Very good. Okay, thank you. Any questions? Well, we very much appreciate you taking the time to come here before us, and we hope that Minsky will give us, Melissa Fanning's here, overall kind of priorities of where what things you've prioritized, but certainly this fits in with what we've said are our committee's intentions, and you have a very good chief author who's on the committee, yeah. So smart.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Yeah.
Senator Eakin. In order. Senator Eakin.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And Senate File 395 is a bonding project for Minnesota State Community and Technical College in Moorhead. It's asking for $5.2 million two things. It's for an expansion of the Transportation Center for the Automotive and the Diesel Technology Programs on the Moorhead campus at Minnesota State, at M-State. The two new laboratories would be addressing a problem. Part of it's going to be a renovation of existing laboratory space, and there will be two new laboratories that will be used by the Diesel Technology Program. The existing laboratories were built in the 1960s, and they are now inadequate for the large-scale agriculture and diesel equipment that's being used today. Things have changed quite a bit since 1960. So that's one of the reasons that's being proposed. It will significantly enhance the two transportation programs by providing additional space and a safer learning environment for the students. Also, I think it's important to note that we need more trained graduates in this area. The employment opportunities are very large in that area for these subject matters, they're expected. I guess the employment opportunities for these programs are expected to increase from 3 to 10% due to the local population growth and also increased agricultural production in the area. So, I think it's important to note that the direct competitor in North Dakota, the NDSCS, North Dakota State College of Science, and Wahpeton recently constructed a $10.5 million expansion, which puts additional pressure on M-State to upgrade their facilities. So that's another reason for it. And the diesel equipment and automotive service technology programs have both experienced significant growth and need an additional lab space for the. And for that reason, we are asking for the $5.2 million. And I do have with me today Peggy Kennedy, who's going to is the head of M-State in Moorhead, and she is going to speak to the details of this proposal.
Thank you, Senator Eakin. And Chair Bonoff, Senators, thank you for the opportunity to be here today to talk about this project and also for your support just in general with higher education this past year. I am privileged to be the president of Minnesota State Community and Technical College. We have campuses in Detroit Lakes, Fergus Falls, Moorhead, and Wadena. We serve over 9,000 students. We're the fifth largest two-year college in the MNSCU system, and we try to serve the region in the northwest area of the state. We are, again, proposing a design and construction and expansion of our automotive and diesel technology programs. It's important for the Moorhead campus, but we find that more and more of our students travel among and between our campuses, so it really is significant in all of our communities. As Senator Eakin mentioned, the original building was built in the 1960s, and we're requesting new labs of about over 22,000 square feet and renovation of almost 16,000 square feet. What it's going to help us do is to accommodate one of the things that I've learned since being in the area is that the farm equipment, the construction equipment, keeps growing and growing each year. It's getting larger, and it's very cramped in the spot, in the space that we have now. Students have to work in teams of four, and so they don't get as much individual attention, and they don't get as much hands-on work on the equipment as they would. This renovation and addition would allow us to have teams of two, so there'll be much better instruction and much more hands-on instruction for this project. In addition, what I really wanted to talk to you today was the excellent relationship that we have with the industry, businesses and industries in this area. In particular, Case New Holland, John Deere, Bobcat, RDO, and Titan Machinery. I've been to two of the advisory committees from this groups, and they are very, very supportive, and they just feel deeply about the colleges. These advisory committees not only hire our graduates when they graduate, but they support the students from start to finish. Many times they'll buy the tools for the students before they start the program. They hire them in part-time jobs while they're in the program, and they also donate millions of dollars of equipment. so much so that we're not able to fit it all into our labs and our shops. And then they do hire our graduates. And our we have a strong placement rate, nearly 100% in the diesel area, and over 80, almost 90% in the automotive area. So there are strong jobs out there. And the salaries, a lot of people don't know that when students go work, particularly in the dealerships in these auto places, after they've been there several years, they can make in the six figures. And with the diesel area, I think the same is true. There's strong demand for these workers, and we know that our students like to stay in our region. So your support of this project would be very much appreciated.
Well, thank you. And I know their parents like them to stay in the region, too.
Yes, they do.
So that's yes, great. They do. And thank you for sharing that with us. We've made the partnership between the businesses and the colleges a top priority, and Minsky and their proposals have talked in most instances about how to leverage those dollars. So we appreciate it.
I also wanted to, if you don't mind, introduce our facilities director, Mr. Matt Shepard. He's been instrumental in the development of this project, and just he came all the way down also for this.
Very good. And I think, Senator Klussen, did you have something?
I did. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just curious, number of students enrolled in the program, and then your capacity. This is growing the program. I'm just wondering if you're also going to be growing the student capacity in the program?
We already increased the number of students from about 150% in the diesel program, from 28 students to 70 students, and the automotive program has had about a 63% growth in that same period, 38 students to 62 students.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. No, I think he wanted to say something.
No, I was just here for support if we had questions directly.
Oh, but you came all this way. What would you like to say?
Thank you.
You want to introduce yourself?
Matt Shepard, Director of College Facilities for Minnesota State Community and Technical College.
Very good.
Thank you.
I appreciate him being here.
He's we appreciate too.
If you had asked me any technical questions, he would have been the guy.
Okay. And Senator Eakin, I know you have a second bill.
I do.
And do you have people here because we're for that as well?
I do not.
Well, then we'd like to wait till Thursday.
Sure, we can do that.
Just because finance has started, so we just wanted to accommodate anybody who had driven a long way to hear their bills right now.
Sure, okay.
Very good. Good.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm glad we were able to get you in.
Thank you.
So with that, committee is adjourned until Thursday at 3 p.m.